Elizabeth was such a determined woman that if anyone could have elected her time of death, it would have been her. She was a truly remarkable human being, with an awe-inspiring strength of character and indomitability of will. By her own admission, she was not as nice as people believed, which does not mean that she could not be, and frequently wasn't, very nice indeed. But there was steel beneath the velvet glove, as she herself acknowledged, and in the course of her long and eventful life she would have the scope to indulge all the aspects of her character, from the kindliest to the harshest. In so doing, she made herself into one of the most popular and, for a time, influential characters on the 20th century world stage. Although no one has ever said it before, the truth is, seldom in history has there been a public personage whose virtues and failings so perfectly suited the role she was called upon to play. And seldom in history has someone handled her role as effectively as Elizabeth did. Fortunately for her and for the British monarchy, Elizabeth had a unique set of attributes which meant that she became, when the occasion demanded it, an almost perfect evocation of the role of the idealized queen she strove to be. But beneath that exterior lay the human being with the unique mixture of virtues and failings which each of us possesses. No rendering of her story can be justly deemed complete without an examination of both her virtues and her failings, which have hitherto been either ignored entirely or then hinted at so obtusely that only those in the know can get even the obscurest hint of what the author is getting at. Elizabeth and the public both deserve better, especially now that she and many of the participants in her story have died. Character is destiny, as the ancient Greek philosopher Heraclitus observed, and the only way for any biographer to do justice to the life of a subject is to present a well-rounded picture of that individual. Elizabeth was undoubtedly a fascinating woman, who lived an amazing life. While she was unquestionably a force for good much of the time, and while she made significant contributions not only to British national life during the nearly 79 years she occupied a public position, but also to the Western world during her glory days during the Second World War, both her life and her character were far more complex than her public image suggested. How she dealt with its demands, how her strengths and weaknesses affected her destiny and those surrounding her, is not the stuff of fairy tales, but of life. Though inevitably with royalty there is a fairy tale element to a fate so far removed from ordinary mankind, it does not behove anyone ever to think that royalty is anything but human. Prick their veins, and the blood invariably flows red. They are human just like everyone else, and their lives only become genuinely interesting when one can inspect them in their entirety. I hope that by examining Elizabeth's character and some of the hitherto unknown issues which shaped her, the listener will come to a fuller appreciation of her as a living, breathing individual who sought to shape her destiny and succeeded so brilliantly that she has gone down in history as one of the central characters of the 20th century. The Much-Wanted Angel, Chapter 1. The world into which Elizabeth Bowes Lyon was born on the 4th of August 1900 was dramatically different in structure from the one in which she would live as an adult. It was a world of superficial certainties, with the rich man in his castle and the poor man at the gate. With the exception of France, all the major European powers were monarchies. The aristocracy held sway throughout that continent, even in republican France, and certainly in England, where her father was the proud owner of a comfortable house called St. Paul's, Waldenbury in Hertfordshire, and in Scotland, where her grandfather, the 13th Earl of Strathmore and Kinghorn,